So the Hershey Bear is 11 seconds ago. So how was everyone else's day today?
I just saw that tweet on my notifications. Everyone's just like, we are thriving. Hello and welcome to episode 17 of Calder's Calling, the Calder Times flagship podcast and your premier podcast destination for everything surrounding the American Hockey League. I am Corey Swartz, and today I'm joined by Dina Weinheimer. We are still shorthanded one. Jay was unable to join us this week due to some unforeseen illness. He's day to day, so we are wishing him the smoothest of recoveries. But Dina, it's great to have you back as an aside.
It's been too long. It's been, over a month? And yeah, I'm so ready to get back at this.
We're happy to have you. But before we start, if you're not subscribed to us on your favorite podcast platform or on YouTube, do so now. If you're watching on YouTube, feel free to like, share, and subscribe so that you can get every episode inserted straight into your feed as they go live. If you ring that notification bell, too, it'll get notifications on your phone as soon as the episode goes live. And I'd also like to thank the show sponsor, Document Doctors. While not on the ice, they can help you and your business optimize and increase your revenue and profits to a bigger slice. Check out Document Doctors LLC, and don't forget to mention that the Calder Times sent you to them. And as we move into our quick hits, Dina, I believe we have some breaking news with trades to talk about.
Yeah, so this trade actually happened a little earlier on the day, on Tuesday. I have to get my day straight here because every day just blends into another, it seems like, anymore. But we're starting to see those initial moves for teams really starting to gear up for the Calder Cup playoffs. So the Syracuse Crunch have acquired defenseman Tyson Feist from Chicago Wolves, from everyone's favorite return future considerations, but Feist has played in 23 games with the Chicago Wolves this season. So far, he's earned 5 points. He is a defenseman. He's also skated in a couple games with the ECHL's Orlando Solar Bears. So he's kind of been all over the East Coast there, but he is no stranger to the Syracuse Crunch. Last season actually played with the Crunch in 6 games and then an additional 29 games with the Solar Bears, collecting 16 points. So he's on an AHL contract with the Wolves, signed that back in mid-July. And now basically Syracuse is loading up, trying to make a run for it. They're in second place in the North Division to Cleveland. And yeah, they're just getting ready. One of many moves, I'm sure, yet to come. And then also, I'm just going to kind of go right into, you know, talking about the next thing here in our little quick hit segment. We do have to acknowledge the Howie's Hockey Tape AHL Player of the Week for last week in the league. And that goes to the Colorado Eagles and Tanner Caro. He recorded 4 goals, 3 assists, and a +7 rating in 4 road games for the Eagles last week, a lot of it up in Canada. And that included the first 4-point game of his career this past Friday, picking up 2 goals, 2 assists, as Colorado came from behind, erasing a 4-goal deficit to defeat the Calgary Wranglers 5-4.
Wow, that's a star-studded game with a lot of scoring. Yeah. Well, going off of the beat of new additions and signings, the Carolina Hurricanes signed forward Max Comtois to a contract at the end of this season. Comtois is 25 years old and played 45 games for the AHL Chicago Wolves this season, recording 12 goals and 16 assists for 28 points. And Dina, I find this one a little bit interesting because it's the Carolina Hurricanes and the Chicago Wolves kind of teaming up for this one, kind of in an interesting reading between the lines there and maybe some good vibes between those two.
I mean, it's one of those things that they've kind of been you know, sending each other little notes, you know, hi, former best friend. Let's try to reconcile this relationship. Like you saw earlier, and I'm so sorry, but the names are escaping me right now, that there were players that were just like, listen, I want to go play. Like, I'm an NHL contracted player. If you're going to send me down, send me to Chicago. It's where I want to go. So we've seen that. And maybe, like you alluded to, maybe this is the sign of better things to come. I know it's what the league wants. I know Carolina wants an AHL team back desperately, but they got to have two dance partners. Let's see what happens. So speaking of things that have happened, we're going to look in the past, not the future here, but the AHL's Player Safety Committee announced that Laval Rocket forward Elias Anderson has been suspended for one game as a consequence of an interference incident in a game at Springfield on March 2nd. So if you're listening to this the day it drops, he's going to be missing tonight's game, Wednesday's game, in March 6th versus the Syracuse Crunch. It's like the same teams just keep getting added back into the conversation here.
Absolutely. And one of the things we're going to be talking about a lot this episode here, based on my recent escapades, are the Hershey Bears. And that's the surprise of absolutely nobody, I believe.
But, literally no one.
Absolutely. But we will start off with some good news that happened over the weekend, which was Clay Stevenson celebrated his 25th birthday on Sunday. And, you know, celebrated in style with his seventh shutout of the season, which ties a Hershey Bears record for shutouts. So he went from, you know, the rookie record to now the team record with his seventh shutout. The odd part about this, Dina, I forget this rule oftentimes because I think it's pretty rare that it happens. It ended up being a shutout, but the Bears lost that game in a shootout. So the Lehigh Valley Phantoms were able to kind of crack him a couple of times in the shootout, but both he and Cal Peterson actually recorded shutouts in the same game for making it to through 65 minutes with no goals. So it really did take that kind of event skills competition to, you know, turn the red line on at all, seemingly, for either team this weekend.
I used to love shootouts. Now it's depends on the storyline and the day. But in a case like that, gosh darn it, why the shoot? I mean, at least he got the official shutout. So happy birthday, Clay.
I've not been having any fun with shootouts recently. I've historically not have fun, especially not this season. I'm not having fun.
Same. Because every player does the same move. They come up, they just move with the puck a little bit, they slow down, deke it a little bit, and then they run out of space. And they get in so close, and it's just like...
I was about to say, though, Dina, the one thing that we're going to talk about a little bit later on, could you imagine if the Hershey Bears get in a shootout at some point in the future and send Evgeny Kuznetsov to the shootout circle for this?
That's not fair! Anyway, we'll get into that. Before we talk about the absolute insanity that is Hershey, I guess, is there anything else on Clay Stevenson before I move on?
Not much, other than he still has time to take that shutout record for himself here over the last few games of the season. The Bears have a pair of games in Charlotte. I'm sure he'll get one of those starts this coming weekend. But kind of an odd weekend for the Bears, in which their goaltenders kind of carried them. They lost both their games, still earned a point on Sunday, but they did so while scoring zero goals for 120 minutes of action. So a very atypical weekend for the Bears, but one that is going to just seem like a bad dream after a short span of time, which we'll get into with plenty of time here to spare.
For sure. So before Corey gets into all that and he gets to just, I don't know, Hershey's a wagon, but anyway, I'm going to talk about the Grand Rapids Griffins and the Cleveland Monsters. So if you didn't listen to last week's episode where our own, the Calder Times own, Grand Rapids Griffins expert, Andrew Rinaldi, was on the show. I'm so sad I missed that. But if you didn't get a chance to watch that, go back, watch episode 16. But I need to talk about the matchup between them and the Monsters. literally last night on Monday. So the Griffins came into Cleveland on an 18-game point streak dating back to January 13th. We're recording this on March 5th. Their last regulation loss was on January 12th, a 2-0 loss against Rockford. So let me set the scene for you. Cleveland has been riding Jet Greaves practically all season. Rookie Pavel Chion is the backup, doesn't get many starts, and sometimes he's super good. Sometimes he struggles because, well, there's only so much you can do as a young backup goaltender not getting consistent starts. So the fans were a little, at least the ones I saw in the different fan groups were a little apprehensive about this game. Some were calling it a complete wash, like, oh, there's no way we're going to win. Well, apparently someone, you know, Pavel dug in deep, ended up getting his team the win 5-3 on Monday night on the young man's back with Jet Greaves being called up to Columbus. So I guess I should have left off with that, kind of jumbled it all up, but I'm still just excited about this win here. So where does that leave Grand Rapids? If you remember back early on into the season, we were talking about how Grand Rapids and Chicago were just kind of swirling on the bottom of the Central Division. They were really having a difficult time. Well, they've put it together. Again, 18-game point streak. They are now second behind the Milwaukee Admirals for that Central Division title. So the Texas Stars, who look to be just absolutely ruling the roost out there in the Central, they've fallen into third place. So you got Milwaukee at 73, Grand Rapids 10 points behind at 63, Texas not too far behind at 57, but definitely pretty concerning for that Stars team here. But also Cleveland, at one point they were trailing behind Syracuse. They had definitely lost momentum there, but they're really starting to regain some footing here. They're back in first place in that North Division. 72 points. Syracuse has two games in hand at 67. Remember, they're starting to make that like real big depth defense move. Definitely know Tampa Bay has more up their sleeves for them, I'm sure. But the biggest thing here is Trayfix Wolanski. He is now up to six straight games with a goal. He was the catalyst. You know, we already talked about Pavel Chion, but Trayfix Wolanski has been really important in getting this team going. He actually had the game-winning goal in that game on Monday. You know, of course, you have some of your usuals with Mikhail Putya, Brendan Gaunce doing their thing. Roman Ashan, a nice depth goal scoring there, but you had the big guns, Jonathan Berggren, Matt Luff, Dominic Schein coming in, getting that tying goal, and there you go. Trayfix Wolanski gets the win. It was just a super exciting game. If you have AHL TV, go back, watch it. You will not be disappointed. So anyway, long story short, a little bit over a week past getting or knocking off the Admirals with their own massive win streak, Grand Rapids is unseated on their own.
Yeah, the one thing I'll warn you about here is that we're kind of having this, like, I'd almost call it contagion type of thing, where we're passing this off. I mean, so a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about the Milwaukee Admirals, who were unbeaten at that time. And me and Jay kind of came to the conclusion that it's possible that Milwaukee may never lose a hockey game ever again, possibly. And then what happens between episodes? They lost a game. Who beat them? The Grand Rapids Griffins, who became the only team to have a point streak after that game, because it was in regulation. And now you're telling me the week after we have a whole show about the Grand Rapids Griffins that now the Cleveland Monsters have unseated their point streak and are kind of going on a little bit of a run of their own here. So I'm not sure. I was going to say, I hope we're not going to become a jinx possibly for these teams doing well, possibly.
I don't think so. Cleveland's only on a 2-game point streak right now because they lost 4-1 to Chicago last Friday.
Very true.
before just totally spanking them on the very next day, 6-1.
It's completely possible, but I'm just saying we have a track record of being a jinx here on this show recently, it feels like. So, or just all time, I feel like we've kind of been a bit of a jinx. But
I'm knocking on wood because I'm talking about my own beat. So come on, Cleveland, don't prove me wrong.
Well, I'll start knocking on some wood while I talk about the Hershey Bears a little bit here. We're going to kind of get into this a little bit. This is kind of the focus of my segment, so I'm going to give you the facts now. We're going to go into in-depth on this a little bit later. But it's been a busy time for the Hershey Bears, who were pretty beat up going into this weekend. As I mentioned, didn't score goals in either of their last two games. Still managed to get 1 point out of those games, which is impressive in its own right. But they suddenly went from famine to feasting, I should say, in a good way. They got some good news on Monday. Pierre Dubé was reassigned to the Bears from the Washington Capitals, which is great news. One of the 20 goal scorers this team has. But then it kind of took a turn for the weird. And I should add before I get to the weird here, the good news is that today at practice, Ethan Frank, the other 20 goal scorer on this team, was in a regular jersey, expected to play. Riley Sutter, one of the leading role players in this team, in a regular jersey, hoping to play. Lucas Johansson, an injured defenseman who's just an impeccable, fantastic addition to this team, Calder Cup champion, of course. Also, all those guys are in regular jerseys and expected to play. But then it gets weird from there, because the Washington Capitals announced on Saturday, I believe, that forward Evgeny Kuznetsov, who was in the NHL's player assistance program, was cleared to resume practicing. And so you think to yourself, good, typically how this goes is that the Capitals will add him back and, somebody will get bumped down to the Bears as a result. Not so. The Capitals followed that up by placing Kuznetsov on waivers. He clears waivers on Sunday and was in a Hershey Bears jersey at practice today on Tuesday for the first time. There he is. That was a Twitter post from the Bears waving at the crowd. You can see he was in a pretty good mood the entire time. There's lots of great anecdotes from the team at practice. Todd Nelson saying he poked his head into the coach's office and said, "Hey, bet you're glad to see me." And, Nelson said that he was he wouldn't believe that Kuznetsov was there until he saw the whites of his eyes type of thing. So, just a totally, in my opinion, unfathomable image that you're looking at right now. If you're watching this on YouTube, of Kuznetsov in a Bears jersey at practice, he skated with the extras as part of this player assistance program. He is only cleared to practice, not to play. So the jury's out. They're kind of waiting for more to see if he's going to play for the Bears at all this weekend. But that's not all, because on, I believe, Monday going into Tuesday, the Pittsburgh Penguins put forward Matthew Phillips on waivers, and he would be claimed back by the Washington Capitals. Now, the Capitals put him on waivers a couple of weeks ago. He was claimed by the Penguins. It's always confusing how waivers work. I'm constantly learning about waivers, it feels like. But Matthew Phillips was placed back on waivers by the Penguins. Nobody else but the Capitals put a claim in on him. So therefore, the Capitals were able to reclaim him, essentially, and loan him directly to the Bears. Now, if you're not familiar with Matthew Phillips, he was the fifth leading point scorer in the AHL last season. 36 goals, 40 assists in just 60-some games, I believe. 76 points in 65 games, if memory serves. Suddenly the Bears went from being pretty threadbare to being pretty menacing. And oh, did I mention that they're still expected to receive Ivan Marochnichenko, Hendrix Lapierre, and possibly even Mike Scarbosa back from the Capitals at some point?
This is not fair. Okay, if you're on YouTube, pay attention to your screen. If you're not on YouTube, get to YouTube. I just want you to watch the opening seconds. I'm going to have the sound muted, but this is also a video from the Hershey Bears of head coach Todd Nelson speaking to the media after Tuesday's practice. And just watch this. Look at this smile. Is that not the face of a man who knows that his team more than likely is going back to the Calder Cup Finals for the second straight year? You could just see that glimmer in his eyes. Like, head coaches, we don't see them like smile and emote a whole lot. A lot of the time it's like straight face, very serious, very professional. But just that look is just, oh, we hit gold. We hit gold covered chocolate.
And it was a fun practice. You know, it was a really just fun time to be at. Kuznetsov was joking. He was really the life of the party there, it seemed like, in a lot of ways, where, you know, he was joking with everybody. I'm sure the guys were happy to see Dubé and the other guys back on the ice and such. It was just a, you know, for as hard as those guys skated, and they skated hard in this practice, let me tell you, you know, it was, that was kind of like the overarching, they just had fun, you know, with each, they enjoy each other's company. It was a great time at that practice this morning.
I mean, you love to see it because there have been some instances in the past where, like, I'm thinking back to a few years ago with the Columbus Blue Jackets and the Cleveland Monsters with Gregory Campbell. And he, you know, put on waivers, sent down, was not claimed, but he refused to report. At the time, he said that he didn't want to take a spot from a developing player, from a young player, which I completely understand. But it's really neat to see a player of his caliber, you know, a Stanley Cup winning forward, someone that has played, you know, along Ovechkin, that's, you know, going down to play in Hershey, and he looks genuinely happy and excited just to be on the ice and still have an opportunity.
Yeah, and that's what I think the great part about this whole thing is for him, is that he, you know, this is an opportunity for him. Not only will he be, you know, potentially, you know, the future's uncertain for him. You know, this is maybe going to be a stint, obviously, you know, as Nelson alluded to today, is that, you know, things could change drastically. We're not even at Friday yet. You know, the trade deadline is coming up this week, and that's kind of what we're going to be focusing on, you know, coming up, is that everything could change in an instant. There's a lot that's going to be going on. That's a lot to, you know, consider here at different points. But for now, it's like, it's, you know, it's just fun. It's fun to see these guys. It's fun to, you know, see the Bears kind of loading up here a little bit, you know, particularly just getting healthy. It's been a hard time for them these last couple of games. You know, it's fun to just see that excitement amongst these guys. You know, obviously there's still some to go. Kuznetsov is not cleared to play just yet. It'll be a very interesting day when that comes around. But between that, the Phillips news, you know, just a deluge, you know, an avalanche, if you will, of news and players all of a sudden after, you know, a pretty thin couple of weeks, I should say.
So yesterday, Andrew Rinaldi and I were swapping texts while the Cleveland Grand Rapids game was going on. And Andrew said, I low-key want this match for the finals. I'm like, I know, right? It would be so good. And then I said, well, Hershey's got to settle down a lot first. And that was before all this. I mean, of course, we already knew about Kuznetsov, but that was before all this other news came down. Now they really, really got to settle down. But the games are played for a reason.
Yeah, and Dina, one more little piece here before we move on is some breaking news that could possibly change some things here, unless, you know, we don't have the full details here. But a trade has happened at the NHL level while we're talking here, that the Capitals have traded forward Anthony Mantha to the Vegas Golden Knights. And it's a developing story at this point. We don't really know what the return is at this point. All we know is that it's just Vegas going to, you know, acquiring Anthony Mantha, who's been a, you know, a hot scorer of late here, certainly. So, you know, we'll see how things unfold here. The Capitals are getting some players back from injuries that may slow the roll, so to speak, of players returning from Washington to Hershey in the future. But some might argue they've already had enough, so it's all good here. So we will stick with that story here as we record here, and I will mention any updates as we go along. But we will shift gears and start to talk about our three stars of the week. Now, it's a bit of a segment here where we talk about our top three picks, just like you would see at the end of your favorite games, where we pick a player and kind of talk about him here a little bit. We're a little bit short without Jay here, so we'll just have to go in depth here. And I suppose I will kick us off here by talking about my star, which is a Hershey Bear, former Hershey Bear, Phil Maye of the Laval Rocket, who I've been meaning to talk about him for quite some time. You know, he's been one of those players where when I saw he was coming back and he wasn't coming back to Hershey, I said, darn. He was overseas last season. Just a terrific player, a terrific role model player. He's on a tear right now. He has 3 goals in his last 4 games. And, you know, kind of turned around from a quiet start here. He only had 2 points in, I believe, his first 8 or so games with the Laval Rocket, to suddenly he's on pace to match or even usurp his most recent full season in the American Hockey League, which would be the 2019-20 season, where he had 44 points. He's at 39 points right now, 15 goals, 24 assists. And, you know, Laval's kind of where they're at in the standings. You know, they haven't quite pieced it all together yet. They're, you know, in a very competitive North Division, I would say, where, you know, if they go on a good run here in the later stages of this month, I could see them pushing into the playoffs maybe at the last moment. But he's just a crucial piece. If I'm the Laval Rocket, I'm saying, what do you want to stay here next season? We'll make it happen. He's been phenomenal this season. I loved watching him play. And I think it's also worth mentioning that he is doing all of this without his good buddy Matt Molson, as he had in Ontario, as he had largely in Hershey. You know, those two were just, their chemistry was on another level. And the fact that Maye is doing this kind of without that buff to him, so to speak, is to me just as impressive as the point count.
All right. So I'm going to go for a rookie. We've talked a lot about rookies on this podcast and how this rookie class is just absolutely unreal this year. But I'm going to go with rookie Ivan. If we throw in the middle name, it's 3 Ivans. Ivan from the Colorado Eagles. So, all right. So if you know anything about Colorado, if you know anything about this player, you're probably sitting here screaming at me going, you know, Dina, you know, what's up with this? Last week, he didn't score any points. He was in the minus, you know, ratings. But settle down. It's okay. Because it's more like, hey, Dina hasn't been here in a few weeks, and a nod this guy's way is long overdue. And honestly, there's nothing you can do to stop me from making this choice.
Oh, yeah. What if I said, Blargen, Spadilnokin? That's my SpongeBob reference. I was going to say, I heard you say that, and my eyes lit up because I know that reference.
Well, I'll admit that slowed me down.
But I'm still going for it.
I'm still picking them. So anyway, back to Ivan. 16 in his last 21 games, and now announced earlier today a contract from the Colorado Avalanche. And the team shared this awesome video on Twitter, because right now he is on an AHL-only deal, and I can't stop giggling about the SpongeBob reference. That's my favorite reference of all time, and I love it. But we're going to just look at this video here real quick. The moment where he and the rest of his team found out that he is getting his first NHL deal.
We're all going to help each other get to where we want to go. Can't do it by yourself. So congratulations to everybody in this room that has helped Ivan earn his first NHL contract.
Look at that smile. So, yeah, they have him come up and in front of all of his team, have him sign on the dotted line. And you can see the guys going up, checking over that contract for him. And, you know, hugs, high fives all around. And then just, yeah, amazing. I mean, this guy in his first professional year making a huge impression on that Colorado organization. I mean, back in training camp, he earned high praise from Avs head coach and former Cleveland/Lake Erie head coach Jared Bednar. But yeah, on an AHL deal, he's really come into his own just over the past month and a half. He's arguably been one of the better players on the Eagles, switching from wing to center and back again and back again, just kind of all over, becoming very versatile in his play. well-deserved. And even though didn't have the best week last week, he's still deserving of my star.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, before we move on to our segment section, we will talk just a little bit more about our sponsor, Document Doctors. And they ask the question, is your business growing beyond the four walls of your office? As businesses grow, so do the challenges of keeping people trained, safe, and supported. Document Doctors, a proud sponsor of the Calder's Calling podcast and the Calder Times, offers affordable solutions to help optimize your business and keep the good times rolling. They offer content-focused solutions such as training document creation, back-office process optimization, policy and procedure development, and much more. Support the podcast and the Calder Times by visiting them at Document Doctors LLC, and don't forget to mention us when talking to their team of contentologists. Shop and support small businesses today. So I guess I'll kick us off here a little bit, Dina. We'll be talking about the further about the Evgeny Kuznetsov AHL assignment and a little bit more of just about what's going on here in general. I am still waiting to see if we get any update on that Mantha trade to see what we, you know, possibly, they obviously didn't trade Anthony Mantha for nothing. I'll tell you that much, but we'll see if we can't get a little bit more details on that as we go along here. But as we were thinking, I was thinking about the Kuznetsov deal over the weekend, and I thought to myself, man, there's a couple of times that this has kind of happened before. You mentioned one, but even just in Hershey Bears history, it's happened a couple of times where the Bears have seemingly acquired out of nowhere, mind you, a big-time NHL veteran forward, just seemingly out of nowhere for one reason or another. So the most recent time that I had to pull up was bring up was forward Scott Gomez, who was a longtime NHL player, was looking to get back into hockey in the 2015-16 season, signed a professional tryout, played 18 games for the Bears, tallied 4 goals and 20 assists for 24 points in 18 games. It was enough for him to get noticed. He ended up getting signed to an NHL contract, you know, obviously at the point where they had to consider whether he was going to sign an AHL deal, where he was going to go, all that kind of good stuff. But I will say, further beyond, you know, his contributions, obviously, Dina, you remember that season very well as to where the Bears ended up and who they played and all that good stuff. But
oh, yeah.
One of the things that, you know, stuck out to me about that was the impact that Gomez had on the Bears. The Bears were a very young team that season. You know, their run to the finals, while absolutely deserved and fantastic, was a surprise to everybody. You know, they were a very young team. They had offloaded a lot of vets the year before. There was a lot of guys that were just taking the first steps in what was sure to be their full pro careers here. But I still remember Gomez played on a line with Riley Barber and Nathan Walker for most of his time in Hershey. And those guys, you know, if trajectory, if, you know, development's a straight line, you know, here's where they were, and then here's where Scott Gomez came into the picture. They went up, and, you know, it totally elevated and changed their games in a fantastic way. And you just can't, you know, replicate that, you know, whether you have the right, you know, it doesn't matter if you have the right coaches, you have the right anything, you know, sometimes it just takes seeing those veteran guys to see, you know, kind of how it's done, how to carry yourself. And more, most importantly, in their cases, having them as your center between two youngsters and, you know, finding that chemistry there to, you know, elevate two guys' games like that. And, you know, obviously, Barber's playing overseas now. Nathan Walker is now with the St. Louis Blues, ironically, a team that Scott Gomez himself played for at one point. Just kind of a neat little story for that one. And, you know, digging back even a little bit further and for much different reasons, in the 2010-11 season, the Bears had NHL defenseman Sheldon Surrey for 40 games and, I believe, a handful of playoff games that season on their blue line. And, Dina, I have a funny story for you on this one. I was in 10th grade when that season was going on. I was a youngster. I had this great memory. I played for my local in-house program when I was that age. And we played a game at Hershey Park Arena at, you know, 9 or 10 in the morning, probably that season, against one of the local Hershey teams. I don't remember what happened, if we won or lost, but as we're going off the ice, they don't even think they cleaned the ice or, you know, whatever they did with it before. I'm walking off the ice. Sheldon Surrey is walking on the ice in the opposite direction of me. And Sheldon Surrey is a big guy. You know, if you've seen him play, you know he's a big guy. I'm, you know, I like to think I'm not too shabby. I'm a little over 6 foot tall. But I was going like this to this guy. I was looking up, man. Like, I was on skates. He was on skates. I was looking up. Like, he's a huge guy. I would not want to play against this guy. It was so fun. We got undressed. We went and watched that practice, you know, immediately afterwards, which was great. And I still remember the couple games later, we were back at the Giant Center, and he absolutely, you know, beat someone up in a fight. I believe hurt his wrist and missed a bunch of games after that, though. So that's my fun little Sheldon Surrey tie-in story here. But Dina, I'm sure you know, you can think of some times, but it's just kind of, you know, it hits different when these kind of veteran guys are in the NHL. And, you know, it's so rare that it happens, but, you know, as long as they come in, like we were saying, with the right attitude, it can be only a benefit, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's not only, you know, good for these young developing players to have someone like that in their room, again, with the caveat that, you know, they are a good, you know, a good teammate. They're showing them the right things. You know, if what Kuznetsov is doing on the ice, he's doing behind the scenes as well with the teammates, you know, talking to people, being jovial, you know, having a good attitude about it all, then yes, that's amazing. That's great. But it's also great for the fans. It's good optics for the league because, you know, people all around Pennsylvania that, you know, are Caps fans and maybe can't afford to go to Washington or go to a game or both, they can come to Hershey. They can go to wherever Hershey's playing. And I mean, there's Caps fans all over the country. Not, you know, it is what it is. So it'll be interesting to see if any of the attendance figures go up once he starts playing with Hershey.
Absolutely. I know you don't have to worry about that inside of Hershey itself. They're pretty good for the rest of the season, I think. But, you know, secondhand prices be going crazy at this point is all I know at this point. So, but it's a fascinating piece because just like with Gomez and Surrey, and, you know, you can name so many guys that, you know, were NHL vets that kind of came down and, you know, played at the AHL level. Like, for I know for like Kuznetsov, he was skating on a line with the extras at practice day. So he was skating with Tyson Empey and Kevin O'Neill. What a thrill for those two guys to, you know, share a line with Kuznetsov, guys that played, you know, at the ECHL level, I've been role players, fill in type of guys, you know, it's a great thrill for them, I'm sure. And, you know, Kuznetsov just seemed to, you know, set the pace at practice. I believe Nelson said at one point that, you know, Kuznetsov hadn't skated in 50 days and it looked like he was, you know, he hadn't missed a beat. So it's certainly going to be exciting for the AHL, an exciting story. It was, you know, great to see so much circulation about the Hershey Bears in, you know, more places than just our common media, for sure.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I hope it all works out for him and he gets, you know, to come back and be the player that the Caps organization knows he's capable of. I'm just glad to see that he worked his way through the player assistance program and hopefully he found it a positive experience that it helped him in the way that he was needing.
Absolutely. That's one of the things, you know, obviously we're not quite there yet. He's still in, I believe, let me find the exact language here. He is in the follow-up phase of the player assistance program. So only cleared to practice as of now. It seems like it's kind of up in the air how long that label is going to hang around on him at this point. But like you said, it's only positive developments. He didn't even, you know, he's not even cleared to speak to the media until after, you know, he's officially hit that stage here. But all signs point to it being an extremely positive situation and, you know, just one that you're, you know, for him as a player, you're happy to see. And if you're a Bears fan out there, certainly won't say no to the services of a Stanley Cup champion and a guy who scored one of the most iconic goals in Washington Capitals history in 2018, certainly.
Got the Birdman going. So kind of circling back to Anthony Mantha, Chris Johnston from TSN, The Athletic, Steve Dangle Podcast Network, just hockey royalty is saying it sounds like it's probably going to be a good hour before the actual trade call goes down.
It's the most unfun thing.
No reason to be alarmed. Just this is how these things go. But the responses to that have just been cracking me up. Like, you know, someone's like, oh, the dial-up internet is clogged up downloading the new Blink 182 on LimeWire. Oh, someone had Taco Bell earlier.
Somebody said on one of my tweets that the Capitals should absolutely be trading back for Mason Morelli out of this trade, which I think would be incredibly wholesome and adorable off of it. So truly, we'll wait and see. I will be celebrating if that's the case. But that was one that made me smile because Morelli has been crushing it up in Washington here. I mean, I should say up in Vegas. My apologies. I want him to be crushing it in Washington.
I know you do. Another bear.
Former bear. Calder Cup champion is how I like to refer to these guys.
There you go.
So before we move on to Dina's segment here, we have one more ad read to have for our good friends at BetStamp. Sports betting has rapidly risen in popularity, and having multiple sports book accounts is the simplest way to maximize your profits. There has never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/AHL, you'll be connected to all the sports books in your region, along with a review of each platform and its unique benefits. All of these sports books have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and when you register through our link, you will automatically receive the top offer at each one. When you use multiple sports books, you ensure that you can always access the best available odds, which is key to successful sports betting. If you want to take advantage of these benefits and support our podcast, please consider signing up for your next sports book at signupexpert.com/AHL. Must be 21 or older, only valid in the U.S., states, and Canadian provinces where sports betting is legalized, and you better gamble responsibly.
That's the most important part of it all. So, all right. Well, you've heard the talk, you know. The National Hockey League gearing up for that trade deadline coming this Friday at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern. And yeah, I know we're an AHL podcast, but seriously, this might have significant impacts on the American Hockey League. Hence why we're kind of keeping an eye on this Anthony Mantha deal, because you never know when an AHL player is going to be involved. So our friend Patrick Williams, he said it best in a recent article for theahl.com. Quote, after all, NHL clubs aren't developing prospects in the AHL solely for their own use. Build a deep group of prospects as an NHL general manager, and now you have options. Maybe one of those prospects helps to get a deal done with another organization, or perhaps a player is moved off the NHL roster in a deal and a prospect is recalled to fill that hole. Anything is possible in this business, especially this time of the year, end quote. So what I'm going to be talking about today is just how does this trade deadline impact the AHL, and more specifically, what final opportunities are there coming for AHL teams to kind of bolster their roster moving into the Calder Cup playoffs. So I'm just going to get this part out of the way. The biggest thing to remember, especially this Friday, if you are an AHL fan, is that it is going to be the most, well, one of the most hectic days on the AHL schedule when it comes to the transaction wire, but it's not going to be because of trades. Yes, there are inevitably going to be some trades that are going to impact possibly your favorite AHL team, or maybe you'll be happy because it impacts your rival, who knows. But the hecticness is not going to be because of those trades mainly. It's mainly something called paper moves. So for those of you not overly familiar with this, the league rules require that a player on a National Hockey League contract, so your two-way players, those guys that you see get called up, sent down, all that, those guys are the two-way players. They must be on an AHL roster before 3 p.m. So not, you know, anytime after, by 3 o'clock Eastern time, if that organization wants that player to be available to the AHL for any point during the rest of the season. So, you know, basically why they call it a paper move is, so say you have, I'm just going to use the example with my beat, Jack Reeves. He's up on an emergency recall now because one of Columbus's goaltenders is out injured, I believe, kind of a day-to-day thing. But if they want Jet Greaves to be able to go down and play in Cleveland at any point during the rest of the season after Friday at 3 o'clock, they have to move him down to that AHL roster. They may not have any intention of actually having him travel to Cleveland or wherever Cleveland is playing that weekend on Friday. They just have to, you know, put it on paper. Yes. Send him down and then he is good to go. So if your favorite AHL player is up on an NHL call-up, watch for that paper move. It doesn't mean, again, that they're going to be reporting to the AHL right away, just that they are now eligible. It's just a formality, legality, whatever you want to call it, that they have to go through. And remember this. Okay, so that doesn't mean that your AHL roster is set at this point. This doesn't account for anyone not currently on a contract. So you have your players currently playing in juniors or in college or any AHL contracted players. So 3 p.m. Friday, Eastern time, NHL trade deadline passes. It doesn't mean that your roster, your AHL team's roster is set. The AHL has its own trade deadline set for March 15th. So that allows some slight retooling of a club's AHL roster, you know, as that fallout from the NHL deadline kind of calms down. Now, the AHL trade deadlines are never nearly as chaotic as the NHL trade deadlines. It's just how it is. But the biggest thing to remember through all of this, you know, with the paper moves and all of that, and even moving on past the trade deadline day, waivers never end. So, yeah, just that's the big thing. Waivers can still happen. So, but again, even after all of that, that is still not the end of any tinkering or retooling of the rosters. You have two trade deadlines that are set. Okay. Now, once those are done, we start getting into late March, you start seeing more what are known as ATOs or amateur tryout contracts that start coming in. So these are basically temporary contracts, tryout contracts, for players that do not have any professional experience. So you are going to see college players, you know, once their season ends, start to sign these types of contracts. Again, juniors, you know, if these guys are planning on going pro next season, you'll see them sign those contracts and also a corresponding entry-level contract on the NHL level. So those contracts will be for next season, but then they sign that corresponding ATO in the American Hockey League, allowing them to really play some meaningful games in the last couple weeks in the regular season, and then going into that the Calder Cup playoffs. So some teams can really get some important talent on here. And one thing to remember too, this is a big difference between the AHL and NHL, is that there is no salary cap in the AHL, nor is there a maximum roster size limit. So you can add a lot of players, really bolster your depth there. But in some ways, constructing your AHL team is a little more restrictive. So one thing that they do have to keep in mind is what's known as the development rule, which is from the AHL, of the 18 skaters, not counting the goaltenders that teams may dress for a game, at least 13 must be qualified as development players. Of those 13, 12 must have played in 260 or fewer professional games, including AHL, NHL, and European elite leagues. And one must have played in 320 or fewer professional games. All calculations for development status are based on regular season totals as of the start of the season. So Yeah, so that rule always in effect at all times, but a lot of juggling going around here in the American Hockey League. I guess my biggest piece of advice is just sit back, enjoy it all, watch out for the who the source is on everything, because you get those trolls that like to come out around the trade deadline. And yeah, just check your source and enjoy it. And I hope your team gets some good reinforcements there.
And the one thing I will add too, Dina, is if correct me if I'm wrong on this, but players that are subject to waivers have to essentially be placed on waivers on Thursday in order, you know, if they announce those waivers at 2 p.m. every day, it takes 24 hours. Basically, they'd theoretically clear waivers at 2 p.m., be assigned on an AHL roster at 3 p.m., and then they're probably right back up with their NHL team unless something bonkers has happened. And the reason I bring that one up so specifically is because I've been just debating for weeks now if Mike Scarbosa is going to be rejoining the Bears at any point because of that very rule. So it's kind of one of those ones where it's like, it feels like you're waiting for the Powerball numbers. Will they put Mike Scarbosa on waivers, and will he clear number one, you know, most importantly of all? So it's been a little bit of added stress here. You know, it adds a little bit to all of us here that support our AHL teams as we hope and pray for our reinforcements.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point that I forgot to put in there, is that yes, so the players that are subject to waivers will be put on those on Thursday afternoon, because they have to clear those, or, you know, the claims and all that have to be in enough time for them to get assigned or paper moved to an AHL squad. So yeah, so Thursday is going to be the big day to watch. If you have someone like a Mike Scarbosa in your favorite organization, otherwise, if you're just looking for like a hotshot rookie that's going to be moving down possibly to help your AHL team, hello, Adam Fantilli in Columbus, fingers crossed, then that will come on Friday afternoon.
Dina, one little bit as we're talking here, we did get the details of that Mantha trade.
Oh,
the Golden Knights have acquired Anthony Mantha in exchange for a 2024 second round pick and a 2026 fourth round pick. So
no AHL implications yet. May get a player down the road though.
Yet is the key word for the Capitals. We're kind of looking at, you know, the Capitals may call somebody up unless it's true that Nick Dowd and Martin Ferravari, former Bear, are ready to go at any point coming up here soon, which it all seems to progress that way. But that also means that, you know, that's just another player that the Capitals won't have. So it'll be interesting to kind of see how that unfolds. But if they get those two players back in, they're back at 23 players, and that's that. So we'll see how it goes, though. That's one less player that the Bears could possibly, you know, have seen forced down to the AHL right now. They'll probably still get Hendrix LaPierre and Ivan Moroshnichenko, as those guys are waiver exempt. But just based off this news now, you know, it's going to be a little bit different. So we'll see how the trajectory goes.
We just need to rename the show, like, I don't know, Hershey Bear Supremacy, or All Roads Lead Back to Hershey.
This is just the Hershey Bears episode of this podcast, I think.
This season has been all about the Hershey Bears, because the Hershey Bears are running the league. So it's not because they haven't deserved it.
Exactly. I am thriving as a result. So
we need them to calm down. They need to settle down, but it's not going to happen. Look at the face of their head coach right now. He's excited. They're not slowing down.
He's excited. I'm excited. I'm having a good time.
I'm glad you are. I'm just vibing that I hopefully get to actually cover some playoff games for once in my AHL writer's career. So I'll just vibe happily.
We're all vibes right now until we get to Friday and everything's set up. Then we can, you know, next week we'll be able to reassess whether we're feeling happy or angry, or, you know, what emotions we're feeling. We'll have had time to process all of our stages of grief by that point to bring you the latest next week. But that'll do it for this week's edition of Calder's Calling. If you'd like to check us out on our written coverage, please visit us online at the Calder Times on Twitter to see all the latest articles there. Please subscribe and rate the podcast. Share it with your friends, family, your mailman, your brother, your cousins, everybody else that likes hockey. And finally, we'd just like to extend a final thank you to Document Doctors, our sponsor. Until this time next week, I hope your team wins, and we'll see you all next time when we'll all be on the other side of the deadline.
I'm just glad I don't work on Fridays.
Oh, you lucky duck.